Hey, friend, welcome back to the Freedom Entrepreneur Podcast. And I'm excited again today to bring you a lovely guest who is coming in with some dynamic conversation I know you're going to want to stick around for. Look, every one of us in the online space or in business, we're facing a crossroads, right? And sometimes it can feel like we need to choose one or the other. Like we need to be all in on the digital platform. There's AI world is taking over and we need to learn about it. And then there's the other side of us that's like, wait a second, what about that human communication? What about seeing people face to face? This is a great conversation, and I've got the right guest today to help us navigate these interesting times. Welcome to the show, Kelsey Green with Kelsey L. Green Communications. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe to this show on whatever podcast player you prefer, and follow me on Facebook and Instagram. Hey, it's Lindsay, and I want to pop in here because I know how overwhelming it can be to get started building an online business. I've even spoken with people who've paid thousands of dollars for help from people who are truly experts in this, and they're still feeling confused about what direction is right for them or if their idea is even a good one. Listen, you don't have to guess or pray or hope or any of that. There is a way to test the market to ensure your idea is a good one so you can launch with confidence. And that's exactly what I show you in this simple 35-minute video training. I keep it simple because I know you already have so much swirling around in your brain. I'm not here to add more confusion because what you need right now is clarity. And that's what's in store for you in the short training called How to Tell If Your Idea Will Be Profitable. Access the video right now by texting the word freedom to 55444. Stop guessing and start taking strategic action. Text freedom to 55444. All right, back to the show.
Thank you, Lindsay. It's so great to be here. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, it's absolutely my pleasure. First of all, I always like to kick it off by having the guests kind of tell us your story. Like, what got you to this place?
Absolutely, yes. So my background is in environmental conservation, both my master's and my undergraduate degree, and I worked in the nonprofit sector for a long time. I was first working as a wildlife biologist and then moved into policy and managing different funding programs. And I found myself basically in the same spot that a lot of my nonprofit colleagues found themselves or find themselves in currently, which is complete and total burnout, just from working so much and having zero boundaries, and also, kind of hitting a financial rock bottom, being a single income household and finding that, I was just, I don't know how people were buying houses and buying cars. It didn't, leak oil and things. It was kind of wild. And so I transitioned into a consulting practice where I, of course, have my own clients and work in similar fields. I do communications and also I work as a community strategist. And, so that was quite a different scene. And I'm sure it sounds like a lot of your audience is also entrepreneurs. So we all find our own paths to that.
Well, you mentioned communications. Like that can go in so many different directions. I mean, we could be talking telecom, like actual phone hardware. We could be talking about, the actual talking part of things. What do you mean by that? Like, tell us more about when you say communications, what does that mean to you?
Sure. So I primarily work in strategic communications, which means that I have a foot in the digital marketing space. And of course, I do digital marketing for my own, business. But really, I look at relationship building. And this is sort of what brought me into this new realm of the business, which was that when we were looking at these big infrastructure projects, we're looking at policy, this is a lot of basically relational work, right? And how do people communicate with each other? What is sort of the strategy? And I know that you and I both care about what is also the heart piece of it, right? Showing up authentically with integrity, right? And so I just started, there's some really interesting things, basic strategic communications, kind of the same across the board, but I got really interested in how do people relate to each other? and what's going on at the individual level, right? And I think I've seen this this paradigm shift in colleagues as well, where we are doing, big projects, big groups at the state and federal agency level, and then we become more interested in how are people operating in their own lives, right? How are they finding fulfillment, happiness, success, joy in their own individual lives? And I truly believe that the more people that can do that, the better our world will be at all the levels, at the policy levels, right? So
I
that's,
agree. Yeah.
yeah.
I love the word fulfillment has been like popping up more and more in my mind because I think that's the piece that people are forgetting. And when we talk about being a freedom entrepreneur, right? Many times people will say, I want to be able to do, it's about doing. I want to do what I want with whom I want, whenever I want. And it's a very physical thing. But in my mind, because I've had the freedom to do all those things, and I still didn't feel fulfilled. It's interesting because I think that's a piece that most people are not even aware of or thinking about. But when you get to a scale where you've literally created the income, you've created the time freedom, you've got all this, it's time and again, you look at entrepreneurs. I mean, Robert Kiyosaki talked about it when he sold his wallet business, like his first business, he sold his wallet business. I can't remember if it was in a podcast or it was a book I'm reading, I've read, because I've done both with some of his stuff. But he was talking about how he was bumbling around in the kitchen and his wife and him were like clashing because he was suddenly home and he just didn't know what to do with himself, you know? And I think that's the thing that we just want to be thinking about, being mindful of from the beginning is the action we're taking going to lead us to fulfillment, which I think really comes back to what the heart of what we're talking about today. Because, you know, when we're looking at this tech road or we're looking at this heartfelt communication road, sometimes we feel divided. And honestly, it doesn't have to be divided. I know you're going to talk more about that. But right now, I think the real question is like, how can we use fulfillment as a guiding light to lead us down the path to help us find that balance that I know you're gonna share with us more about?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Lindsay. Yeah, I think, gosh, I feel like these days it's very easy to fall into that binary mindset. Everything is, at least, from what I'm seeing over here, things feel very polarized, right? And it's an either or. And so I guess I'll just kind of go into, I think, one of our main topics for today, which is digital boundaries and digital minimalism as it pertains to community, right? And as it pertains to the ways that you might bring your work into the world. And it can very much feel like an either or, right? Just like these other realms where we're seeing this binary perspective. So basically what happened, just to kind of follow up on the story, was I found myself in that trap like lots of others find themselves in, where we're mostly, you and I have an online business. We're doing online community work. We're meeting our clients online. We're connecting their people online. We're also maybe falling into the trap of responding, online. No boundaries on our phones, answering our phones all the time, answering text, doom scrolling, because we have to be creating content, right? And there's various ways to do that. Some are more automated than others, right? You can, I think, kind of fall into that place where, you might be just on your phone all the time. And I truly believe that things start to suffer greatly. And the data also shows this, your focus, your creativity, and also the connections and the depth of relationships that you're having start to suffer, right? So I guess, just to kind of bring the story to present day, I started looking into how can we create more fulfillment, have more creativity, more joy, through setting some parameters, some sidebars around our digital use, right? At the same time, some of these platforms, like we're meeting here, of course, can be so beneficial and so amazing. These relationships that can come in the digital space, can be so incredible, lead to amazing things. So, not throwing those away. But really, the thesis is, how do we use the tools as tools? How do we find the balance of existing in a digital space and making sure that we're not throwing everything away and starting to suffer from things like the loneliness epidemic that we're seeing in the certainly in the US, but globally for sure.
What did you call the epidemic? What did you say?
It's been coined the loneliness epidemic.
Oh, loneliness. I wasn't sure exactly. I hadn't heard that. Yeah, I can imagine. And I think it's just going to get more so as we start, as society starts leaning into tools of the AI and the bots and the things. And I think it's just a calling out, like we were talking about before we got on. There's this like guttural inner feeling, like we just need to talk to each other, have those deeper, meaningful connections. But more than just the human element, like, oh, we just need to satisfy our soul, it's also a business tool because, in the fact is, our clients also are looking for that. And I think there's this, I see a lot of this, like, when we're very transactional in business, we can use AI tools to drive traffic to our business. We can have a funnel that converts. We can build up passive income. We can do all of those things without actually interacting with our audience. We can automate our follow-up. We can do ringless voicemail. I mean, all those things are awesome. Don't get me wrong, I think they're great tools. But they are leaving out a really important component, and I think that is that building of that community. And I truly believe, and I mean, I dare people to have, I'd love to have a conversation. Actually, really fun side story. So coming up on Friday, where I'm doing this thing, and maybe I'll invite you back for one of these conversations because this would be a good one. I'm starting to do a debate style podcast. So I've got two guests coming on. We're debating a topic, and it's competition over collaboration and like what works in business. But I'm really curious if we did something that was like, you know, tech only versus community, like which business strategy. I mean, obviously we need a blend, but I feel like businesses that embrace this community brand building tool are going to excel bigger than necessarily just people that focus on tech. More so because I think the entrepreneur at the head of the table is going to feel like they are making impact. And really, isn't that what we're all here for? It's bigger than just a paycheck. A paycheck's super important, but I think our mission is bigger than that.
I wholeheartedly agree. And I guess it does depend on which metric you're using, right? Because as we know, of course, some people that are fully automated, utilizing AI completely, bots, right? Are probably, I'm sure some of them are making a ton of money, right? So I was actually thinking back to a wealth podcast that I was on, and I talked about, yes, of course, monetary elements critical, right? Very important
Absolutely, yeah.
in a successful business. And, how many people have you heard of very wealthy people that are absolutely miserable, right? So if we consider wealth to look at the other elements, fulfillment, joy, happiness, a feeling of belonging, connection, then yeah, I could definitely make the argument that we will be better served as entrepreneurs to take that into account. And Lindsay, I liked your point. Just want to echo your point about, some of the great tools that are out there, automations, the funnels, there's some things that can work really well. Also, it should be noted that some of these great tech tools that you can set up will give you more time to be in person with your family, with your
Oh,
community,
yeah, I love
right?
that.
So some of those are, of course, I think amazing to implement in the business. And that's really the point that I make, is that it's not about throwing these things away. It's about finding the balance between using the tools as tools, right? And not letting the tools use you. And I'll just take a moment here to note that we talk about digital minimalism, and that can be a really scary term for some people because they believe it means throwing your computer away, throwing your phone away, whatever. But really, it means what are your core values, and is your technology use supporting those values, or are they subverting those values, right? So if you look at whatever your core values are, let's say mine is community, I try to be very, very mindful of, is my digital use supporting community? And generally, that means in-person community. So I utilize the social platforms to build some digital relationship, sure, but also support my local businesses, support other entrepreneurs, and of course, talk about programs that help people build their in-person communities in their lives, because I think that is so critical.
I love that. I'd like to know more about that topic because I think that is an interesting. I mean, if you, I love how the world just kind of goes in cycles. Like we had this cycle of everybody going on the digital age. A lot of that was inspired by COVID, obviously. We had not a lot of choices there, but here we are. We're beyond that. And now I think more and more people are craving. In fact, I was just talking to a really good friend of mine. She had put an event on a couple years ago. She's in the real estate investing, like multifamily space. And it was an amazing event. It was a 3-day weekend. It was like really awesome. Everything was fun. And I was talking to her and I said, you know, I was thinking about doing an event similar to that, like a freedom entrepreneur business event. But, you know, I was bouncing some ideas off of her and talking through it. And she goes, yeah, here's the thing though. Right now, big events aren't being attended as much as these smaller, like retreat style events. There's just not, if people are see, I just think there's this movement of people are seeking these deeper, more meaningful, heartfelt connections and not necessarily just a mass. We've had the fire hose of information, and that's what you get at some of these big things. You get like, there's so many people to follow, but there's so much information. I just learned I'm overwhelmed, you know, but it's exciting. We're all excited. It's like, that's awesome. And I love it. But then putting it into life is like, that's where you go deeper with people, right? And so she was just saying, skip ahead and do that retreat style thing, which is cool. And I'm excited to explore that idea. But it goes to your point too, that this is a really powerful thing. So anybody who's got an online business, you've already, maybe you've already even built the transactional side of it. Like the money's flowing in and you're kind of like, this is great, but now what? What am I doing? I've done the traveling, I've done the things, I'm ready for something deeper. How can they start taking this? They've got a following of people all over the place, right? How do you take that and make it something like you're talking about of an in-person event or community?
Well, I will say, having produced a lot of in-person events in my life, both, standing monthly local community events that went on for years, multi-day conferences, right? Tons of in-person events, that it's a different creature, right? So the way that you show up, the energy, and certainly, a lot of times the marketing involved is quite different. So, if that is the direction that you are able to take your business, generally speaking, unless you have some pretty high ticket offers and your clientele supports this, you're probably not going to bring in a ton of revenue from the in-person event, especially if what you're describing, these smaller, more intimate gatherings. So, I would say that the connections, of course, as you noted, that you can create in those spaces is very different. And who knows what that could lead to. So I would say shifting the mindset from high revenue generating event to, it having some non-monetary benefits is probably good. It's a little bit of a mindset shift. But I suppose one thing I think is important to point out is, if we're looking at holistic health, this might not be something that you necessarily generate for your business. If you're in a space to do that, amazing. Do it. Hold the small in-person retreats and workshops. Do, a standing monthly local community gathering with other entrepreneurs. That's great. But I suppose my point is maybe a larger one, and it expands beyond just the business realm. And that is, if digital platforms is really all that's accessible for your clients right now, because they are scattered across, the US or the world or whatever, then look for ways that you can deepen your relationships on those digital platforms with your business community, right? So I have a mastermind. We work together for 6 months doing really intense things, and I believe that that can create a wonderful level of relationship that you wouldn't find in just, like, say, a Facebook group or something, right?
Yeah.
Probably. At the same time, I believe that past beyond business for our own individual health and wellness, we need to be cultivating community where we live and in our region as well. And I know that you and I work with a lot of entrepreneurs, so this is a larger message beyond just for entrepreneurs, but this is critical for our lives, is that we do know our neighbors, that we do remember what it's like to talk to people in the grocery store, right? We put our phones away when we're outside and we are relating to people in our physical geographic space, and working to cultivate more of those in-person relationships where we live. And if that's, if you can do that and business together, always cool, whatever. But I think it's necessary for our mental health in a larger way.
I think it's interesting you're saying that. I forget that because I've lived in this little tiny town for so long now that that's just normal. That I totally forgot what that is true. Like when I remember living in Phoenix, I had gone back to Phoenix for a Thanksgiving holiday a couple years after we moved up here. I remember going to the grocery store and the clerk just was doing her job, obviously. She wasn't even looking at me. There was no hello. It was like, oh, hi. And then bling, bling, and your total is, I was like, you go to Bonner's Ferry and you're like, I know the cat clerk. And I'm like, hey guy, how's your cat? Yeah, just like conversations that go, and it doesn't take a long time, but these people show up at the community events. You see them at the state fair or the county fair, and you see them all around town. Or when somebody gets in a car accident and gets posted on Facebook, like 20 people know this person. It's not like just in a big city where, oh, seven people were murdered last night, and da, 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 and you get immune to this like beast of things happening where there's no humanness in it. I totally forgot about that, Kelsey. That's such a valid point. How do you propose to people to do that? So say they are living in a bigger town, like how do you get that community and that connection back in little ways like you're talking about?
Well, it comes back to the digital boundaries, I think, right? So, as I mentioned, putting your phone away when you're out in public. And when if you're looking at building a stronger circle. So, you and I talked about the course that I have, How to Build Your Circle. And this is really that next level of, I believe that it's important geographically in your region to build these in-person relationships, even if they feel very, like shallow, maybe even. That's fine, right? You want to have all kinds of different relationships. But when you're looking to build a circle, I work with a lot of women who feel like once you hit 30, 40s, whatever it is, post-retirement, that you just, unless you had the friends from 15 years ago, it's really tough to make new friends as an adult. And it can feel like this is not a priority because we have families, we've got busy businesses, careers, whatever. But having those kinds of relationships, close circle relationships, are so important. So basically, I go through a framework of almost like dating again, where you're actually going out into the world and looking to build more friendships, right? Looking to build out your actual circle beyond just people that you might see at church or, like those geographical connections, and really strengthening your ability to bring people into your life at a deeper level. So I guess, Lindsay, to your question about how to do that, I think that there's kind of a systematic way, and that's practicing, like I said, being off your phone in public spaces, but also practicing setting up digital boundaries in your life. So, for example, I am trying to be off my phone from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. The only notifications that come through actually at any time are from my mom because she's my mom and she's experiencing some health issues right now. So I want to make sure that call breaks through. But otherwise, I'm working on being fully present to who is around me, what's around me, the relationships that are already in my life. When you're present with someone else, and of course, if you live with people, it might be different because you're around them all the time. So sometimes you're gonna be on your phone, that's fine. But if you're meeting up with someone for coffee, for a meal, for a meeting, your phone is nowhere in sight, right? We know that when your phone is present in front of you, your attention is more fractured. There's literally academic papers on this, right? It's called the brain drain. you're just a little dumber when your phone is present because your attention is fractured. So making sure that your phone is out of sight when you're trying to do your work, but also when you're trying to connect with people at a deeper level.
And while you're talking, my phone is dinging. It's funny. I put my phone on airplane mode when I do these, but I have on my Mac a tech my texting app comes through. I don't know how to turn that off. If anybody knows, I'd love to hear because I really wish I could turn that off. It annoys me. I'm like, I don't want to see these texts while I'm doing. I love being engaged with my guests. That's what I'm doing here.
Right.
So
Well,
though that's really
Lindsay,
great.
that's a perfect example. I just want to point out that's such a good
Yeah.
example of things that we've set up, or like, you know, that were set up for us, basically. You know, these tech companies want us to be always paying attention to what's happening in the digital space, right? Always engaged. And sometimes it's you don't quite realize that, oh gosh, there are so many things demanding my attention,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah, there's the ding. No, I even go in and I delete the app and it still keeps coming back. Like I can't get rid of it. And I'm like, this is really annoying. You know what I need? I need my son. He'll solve it in
Yeah.
10 seconds.
Right.
That's funny. No, this is a great conversation. It's such a valid point how, you know, our society is just getting so and so much more caught up in our phones. You see it when you go to the you go out to a restaurant and two people are sitting there on their phone. It's like, what was the point of going out? Just to fill your belly? I mean, have a t conversation, have a dialogue. It's so powerful. And I think your message is one that needs to be shared, you know, widely. So thank you for getting on the airwaves here. So how could people like what would people look for in working with you? How are they going to connect with you? What problem are you going to help solve in their life?
Absolutely. Thanks, Lindsay. Yeah. So I run monthly, I run one or two free challenges. It's called Screen Free Sunday. So it's 24 hours off of screens. And this can be a great way to help you identify, gosh, do I have, you know, some people think they don't have a problem with their phones. And let me tell you, spend 24 hours off your phone, off screens, no streaming, no podcasts, no music. And you will know immediately if you have a compulsion to check your phones or be on screens, right? So those are kind of a fun little free challenge. As I mentioned, I run a mastermind that starts on the quarter, every quarter, and this is a cohort to accomplish one big thing in your life. So whether that's launching your business, you know, launching your podcast, finishing a book, creating your gallery body of work for an exhibit, whatever it is, we do it together over 6 months. And then, of course, I have How to Build Your Circle, which is a it's a digital platform community that we do for 6 weeks. This next one will be in February 2026, and that is working on how to build your actual in-person community to feel like you've got a lot of that support and new friends, right?
Yeah, definitely. Well, where can they find out more details about those things?
So my website is Kelsey L, like Lemur Green. Instagram handle is the same, Kelsey L Green, and you can find me on LinkedIn. And you can get on the email list and learn about all these challenges and courses and things.
Yeah. And for the listening audience, Kelsey is spelled Kelsey, and green is just like the color, so it's easy to remember. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining the show. This has been a truly, I think, necessary conversation. And I'm grateful to air this and share this with the listening audience.
Oh, Lindsay, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to chat with you today.